So glad to have you with us. Amen.
It's great to be here, Pastor. Thank you. We love Landmark Baptist Church and Landmark Baptist College, and we're just thrilled to be with all you folks tonight. Wasn't the music service wonderful tonight? You know, I think sometimes we, if we're not careful, folks like us take for granted what we have at a place like here at Landmark. And I'm here to assure you tonight that not everybody has this. It's pretty wonderful, and thank you. And of course, I send greetings from Brother Jack Nixon up at Fort Dix, New Jersey. So, Brother Jack is up. I knew that would make everybody smile. Now, don't tell Jack it made everybody smile, but continue to pray for Jack. He's doing a wonderful job up there at the Servicemen Center. And what he's actually doing is just kind of hanging out there with these young soldiers and airmen on their way off to battle. And it's a great opportunity for him. I believe he's already led two people to the Lord there. And folks, that's an aid station. It really is. It's, you know, we hear about medical aid. That's a spiritual aid station when you're outside of those bases. So we're just thrilled to have Jack out there and say hi to all of you. We love your church. Thank you for supporting us. You know, we count on you folks, and you've been so gracious to us. And we're actually down here at the school, and we're filming a session right now on PTSD. And you folks agreed to help out with that endeavor. And folks, it's so big today. 380,000 to 385,000 people around our country are institutionalized right now with issues as a result of post-traumatic stress disorder. So continue to pray for our military around the world. They're not getting much help out of Washington, I promise you that. And there's not much to be had there. Honestly, God alone can take care of these folks, and he alone has the answers. And continue to pray for them. And Pastor Carter, I am greatly honored that you would allow me to preach tonight. And I have more respect for Pastor Carter than probably all but two or three pastors in the whole United States, and I consider it a great honor. And you know, there was these three guys at the VA center, and you know, there had to be something in there. Jay's smiling at me over here. Yeah, these three guys in the VA center. You had a Navy guy, an airman, and a Marine, and they're sitting there on the bench, and they're all prior service. They're these old veterans, and the doctor was showing us around and telling us how sometimes one of the first things to go is the cognitive thing when you get real old and you're a World War II veteran. And he went up to these veterans, and he wanted to show us that some of them had excellent recall. So he went to the first one, and he said, "Sir," he said, "can you tell me what 3 times 3 is?" And the gentleman sat there, and he did some things with his fingers and stuff, and he came back, and a couple minutes later, he said, 247. And the doctor said, "Well, thank you, sir." And he went to the second fellow, and he says, "Sir, can you tell me what 3 times 3 is?" And the second fellow went there, and he used his fingers and his toes, and man, he did everything he could, and he sat there, and he figured for a long time, and he came back and said, "Tuesday." And so the doctor said, well, thank you very much for that, and thank you. So he went to the third fella, and he said, "Can you tell me what 3 times 3 is?" So the third guy got there, and he went through everything, and he was counting, and a few minutes went by, and he said, 9. And the doctor said, "Fantastic. How did you come up with that?" And he said, "I took 247 and took Tuesday away from it." So hoping... I stole that joke somewhere. It was better the first time I heard it, but you got to steal the jokes when you can get them. But if you'd open your Bibles tonight to Proverbs 14:34. People are always asking me, as a military missionary and somebody who's always working with our military and our veterans around the world, they say, "What's happening to our country? What's going on with our country? Why aren't we blessed the way we used to be blessed?" And I know you folks are a patriotic bunch and everything you do here. And when you get there to Proverbs 14:34, if you could stand with me, we're going to start with that verse tonight. I want to preach a message entitled, "What's Happening to Our Country?" What's happening to our country? And the Bible says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. We're so thankful for the great Landmark Baptist Church and Pastor Carter and these wonderful people who've come out tonight. Lord, we've been blessed so much by the music service. We've been blessed, Lord, by the fellowship of just shaking one another's hands. But God, we come to you, and selfishly we ask, would you do more tonight? Would you open our hearts, dear God? Would you take your word and penetrate our hearts? Oh God, we beg you, if there's one here tonight who's not saved, who's never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Lord, we beg you that tonight would be their night of salvation. Lord, would you do a work in our hearts tonight? Open our hearts, Lord. Give us the words that we need to hear. We love you and need you. In Christ's name, amen. Please be seated. Thank you so much. I really want to look at that verse for a few minutes before we go on to another one. But you know, when we think about righteousness exalteth a nation, And it says, but sin is a reproach to any people. You know what I've been thinking about? You know what I figured out? That this whole book is written because we have one problem. This whole book, we have one problem, and that problem is sin. You know, this Bible really just has one villain, and that villain's the devil. And it has one hero, and that hero is Jesus Christ. And as we look at our nation, and as we try to take a look at what is going on with our nation, what's going on with the world, I don't know about you folks, but I joined the Army in September of 1978. Some of you may not have even been born then, and I was a 17-year-old kid, and I can remember there were certain things I took for granted about the United States of America. And I know some things for sure. We didn't play around. I mean, I don't remember there being a Muslim in the Army. I'm just being honest with you. I mean, somebody would have beat him up or something. You know, no one. I don't remember ever meeting a Muslim in the Army. I don't remember ever meeting these people who have no value in human life. As a matter of fact, most of the people I met in the Army were all there for the same reason, and that's to keep our country the way it's always been and to serve God in a wonderful way. So I want to give you, and I know you know this as much as I do, but I want to give you a quick history lesson. It's only going to be a couple minutes, where our nation come from and what this Bible verse means to us and what's going on here today. And righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We know that the United States of America, for the most part, that the United States of America was Native Americans. And the folks who came over and started colonies over here, the first successful one was in 1607 in Jamestown. But we know, and there were some colonies in Florida, but we know that as we look at our nation, most of these people all had one thing in common. And that one, and I still sound like a Yankee sometimes. I saw Brother Pitts getting ready to say something to his wife over there. But here comes that, and I've repented of being a Yankee. So you all need to forgive me about that. But I was thinking about this. They all had one thing in common, for the most part, and that one thing in common is they were escaping religious persecution. They wanted to have the ability to worship their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They formed a nation, and even the early money, and even the early finances, and even those early things had "In God We Trust" on them. There was one reality that the colony people had, and that was to serve God better. It was a reality. You know, the Portuguese were the first people to map the United States of America. And being the kind of people the Portuguese are, they didn't tell anybody about it. They didn't even tell. And then we go on and we find out that over the next 100 years after that, we see that Spain, France, Paris Island, Maine and the lost colony of Roanoke. And remember Jamestown. Let me share some things with you about Jamestown. As I studied for this message, I really took a look at things that were going on. Pastor, this is going to mess you up, but do you realize they worshiped as many as 7 times a week in regular worship services? They had Bible studies every single day. If you didn't go to Bible study, you could be arrested. I mean, it was against the law not to study God's word in those colonies. And in Plymouth, Massachusetts, if a pilgrim was caught where he was not studying the word of God or she was not studying the word of God, they'd put him on extra work and make him study the word of God all night and read it to each other. It's just crazy. The folks settle in Jamestown. Are you ready for this? They were forced to swear an allegiance to the king and the allegiance to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So when people tell you this country wasn't founded on Christian values, when people tell you that it's not a Christian nation, they're lying to you. People are trying to sell you a bill of goods, and righteousness exalteth the nation. Righteousness exalteth the nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. And then we go on. Within 100 years from that colony in Jamestown in 1607, 90% of our population were Orthodox Christians. A matter of fact, they were coming over in masses. Do you realize that the American Indians claimed 40% to be born-again Christians within 100 years of the first Americans landed? See, people are told different things. They said, you know what killed most of the Indians, honestly? Disease, white man's disease. It really wasn't, you know, you watch these movies and things are tainted. And by the way, if you watch some of this stuff for Hollywood, you got some issues anyway. You know, if you're believing any of that stuff, and because it's all a bunch of joke. But by the mid-1800s, we were the richest nation in the world, and the entire world will envy us. You say, well, why is this, Brother Carragher? As part of an introduction, why is this? Why are we blessed so much? Why are we seeing all these things? Let me share some things with you. In Massachusetts, firstly, I want to tell you, this is going to blow your mind. Do you know what Harvard Christian College at the time, do you know what their first motto was? Truth for Christ and His Church. You know, in the state of Massachusetts, when they came together and they formed an education system, they passed this law, and the first law was called the Law of 1642. And what it said, if there was more than 50 people in a county, if there was more than 50 people in a town, you had to start a Christian school. And people weren't getting that. And they had to be ready to be fed into Harvard Christian College, because people had to go to Harvard and they had to learn divinity and they had to learn biblical facts and they had to learn the Word of God and they had to go through these things and they had to grow from them. Then in 1647, the folks in Massachusetts said, this isn't good enough. They were doing something that the folks in Connecticut had just done. And they said, we're not religious enough. We're not doing things enough. We got people out there that are drunken fools, and we got people out there that aren't worshiping God and aren't studying the Word of God. So they passed this law, and you're going to love the name of this law. It's called the Old Deluder Satan Act. Man, you want to talk about pointing at Satan. So in 1647, they named the law the Old Deluder Satan Act. And what they said was this. They said, if you have those 50 people and you don't do it, we're throwing you in jail. Furthermore, if the Bible is not your main textbook, we're throwing you in jail. Furthermore, we're a Christian state, and if you're not a Christian, you need to go somewhere else. Isn't that special? Praise God, we need a law like that today, don't we? And all of our dollar bills, all of our currency, all of our stamps, every letter sent to a country anywhere in the world for 140 years from this country had "In God We Trust" on it. It didn't matter who we sent it to, we didn't care. We said "In God We Trust." Every state in this country, every single one, used the Bible all the way up to Hawaii as a reference for their state constitution. Do you realize that 32 of the states quote scripture verbatim in more than half of their original constitution? 32 states. The first organized chaplaincy in the world in our military. So you get, well, Brother Doug, what are you getting at? There's a reason God blessed the United States of America. There's a reason God has smiled at the United States of America. There's a reason we're the richest nation in the world. There's a reason that we sit here tonight and get to enjoy worshiping Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But my dear friends, let me share this with you. We can lose that reason as quick as we got it. We can lose that reason. So let's look at this verse. Righteousness exalteth the nation. You know that word righteousness? I love the English language. And that word righteousness, it literally means the quality of being morally right. It's the quality of being morally right. So you say, well, Brother Doug, what does that have to do with our country? You see, we were morally right. There was a time when this country was morally right. There was a time when this country looked to Scripture. There was a time when this country looked to God for answers. There was a time when people sat around and said, hey, should boys marry each other or girls marry each other? You know, there's this silly old fool out in California that's suing the California Supreme Court to marry a Great Dane. Think about that, folks. And I'm not talking about something that looks like a Great Dane. I'm talking about a Great Dane. I know some people sometimes can look kind of odd, but this guy's trying to marry a dog, Pastor Carter. I mean, you couldn't have a dog living next door to this guy. And you know what blows my mind more than anything else is it's cleared two courts, and it's still going on. This guy wants to marry a dog. Wow. What's going on with our country? Righteousness, the quality of being moral right. You know what the antonym or the opposite of righteousness is? Wickedness. Think about our country today, folks. Wickedness. The opposite of righteousness is wickedness. And the opposite of wisdom is foolishness. And think about what's going on in our country today. You know, if start thinking about some of the problems we have with God's Word and the way we do things. Think about this. If we went back to when Christ was born, and every single day since he came onto the earth, every single day we put away $1 million. Do you realize that today, after every single day, and I assure you this is true, my son's like a mathematician freak, and he checked this out for me, we would only have $1 trillion. $1 trillion. If we saved $1 million every day since Christ was born, we'd only have $1 trillion as a nation. Well, you say, well, Brother Doug, what are you getting at? We owe $17 trillion. Next year, we'll owe $19 trillion. In 3 years, we'll owe $22 trillion. And do you know who we owe this money to? Righteousness exalteth the nation. We owe this money to sinners, folks. We owe this money to people who won't let Christian faith into their country. We're paying interest to countries that believe Christ is a lie. We're paying interest to countries that worship Muhammad. Think about it, folks. And we wonder what's happened to America. Well, let me tell you what's happened to America. Sin is a reproach. Sin is a reproach to any people. And that's what's going on. We're telling other nations we no longer believe in Christ. The President of the United States said, we're not a Christian nation. Can you imagine that statement? Oh, my, folks. Think about that. We're not a Christian nation. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach. And can you imagine telling that to other nations? We're embracing cults and cult worship. Think about that. In the military today, you can't pull out a Bible and pray at your desk. Can't do it. But you know what? You can sit there and talk about your Muslim faith all day long. You can grow a beard. You can go out and face Mecca 2 times a day. You can do anything like that. But you can't do it if you're a born-again Christian. We're the most persecuted faith in the world right now, right here in the United States. And our leaders are fighting around the clock. I want to share, this is going to blow your mind before I move on with this. In the whole history of the United States, all right, from the time we became a nation in 1776, when we declared our independence with the Declaration of Independence, from that time all the way through President George W. Bush, there were 1,100 lawsuits filed against Christians in the United States of America for saying they went overboard or they went too extreme, they shouldn't be preaching or teaching those things. 1,100. The entire history of our nation, 230-something years, 1,100 lawsuits. Out of those 1,100 lawsuits, about 200 of them were taken seriously, and none, listen to this, folks, zero, zippo, none, were ever forcefully forced upon anybody. They all went away. They were all worked out among gentlemen and people like that. It was done. Now you say, well, Brother Doug, what are you getting at? You know what's happened in the last 5.5 years? 11,000 lawsuits. 11,000 lawsuits. Right now, there's about 2,200 that have stuck, and they're going on right now. And not only are those lawsuits right now, and folks, we need to realize that what's happened to our nation, we're filing lawsuits against one another. And we're using these unions and these organizations to file lawsuits as well. And you say what's happened to us? Sin is a reproach to any people. Sin is a reproach to any people. We're sitting here as a nation, and the Attorney General every single day files 5 lawsuits against born-again Christians somewhere in this nation. Every single day. Every day when you wake up, he's filing 5 more lawsuits against Christian organizations. You say, well, Brother Doug, this is a strange man. This is reality, folks. This is our nation today. If we want to save our nation, we need to remember that righteousness exalteth the nation. That being morally right, doing the right thing, trusting Jesus Christ, trusting in his word means the right thing. Exalteth. Righteousness exalteth. The word exaltedness means to hold someone or something in a higher regard, to speak highly of them, to put them in a better position. Folks, our Lord has exalted us as Christians. Our Lord has exalted us as a Christian nation. Look where we are today. Look what we have. You know, folks, I've been in 70 nations in this world, and I have one thing that I can tell you about every other nation I've been to. I've always left there and said, man, I can't wait to get back to the United States. I can't wait to go to Cracker Barrel, praise God. I can't wait to hit Outback Steakhouse. I can't wait to be home. And I know that'll preach right there. But you know what the antonym of exalted is, or the opposite? It's humiliate and dishonor. God has a choice with us right now. As a nation, we're beginning to sin. And we're being a reproach. We're being a reproach to God and his word. As a nation, when we tell people that they can disregard the word of God. As a nation, when we tell folks it's okay. It's okay to get away from the word of God. It's okay for boys to marry boys. It's okay for girls to marry girls. It's okay to marry a Great Dane. Folks, we've lost our status and position with God. And I'll tell you, we need to get on our knees and our faces, and we need to beg God. And folks, not only as a nation do we have a corporate responsibility, but we also have an individual responsibility to worship God. We also have a responsibility as a family to vote and do the right things. We have a responsibility, brethren, to do the right things. And we got to do those things. And the Lord has honored our nation's history, and he's honored us. And we need to teach our generation. And then that word reproach. Reproach. To suffer scorn, rebuke, or shame. Sin is a reproach to any nation. Folks, we're suffering scorn. We're suffering shame. Think about that, the shame that's involved with that. And because sin in our nation, and we're losing our exalted position, we're falling. We're sliding. We're sliding. Do you realize in World War I, have you ever thought about this? In World War I, you know how many ships we lost in battle? Zero. Not one ship in battle. Do you realize when the Nazi government was studying their Navy and putting together their Navy, they spent years, they had students literally stick around for fellowships to try to figure out how the United States went through an entire war without losing a Navy ship. There were people on their knees, folks. There were people on their knees. You know, there's a group of people that up there in North Carolina, very close to that camp that a lot of folks go to, the Wilds, and they named this group of people. There were a group of women. There were 24 women that had husbands, brothers, and sons that went off to battle, and they went with the National Guard Division there from the Asheville area. And as they went out and they went to battle, all these women said every single day after work, and they worked in the plants, and they'd get together before they'd even go home and cook about 6 or 7 o'clock at night after spending 12 hours in the plants, and they would get on their knees and they would beg God that their husbands, brothers, and sons would make it home. Guess what, folks? Infantrymen in the United States Army in Europe during World War II, not one was scratched. Not one was scratched. You see, it's a different world. We need people to stand up. I can't help but think of David and Goliath. I can't help but go over there into Samuel, into 1 Samuel 17, and we look, and we know what's going on there, folks. We've heard the story so many times. We've read it, and we've thought about it. But here's little David. He's Jesse's son. He's the youngest one. You know the deal. There were those that were stronger and bigger. But, you know, old David was a shepherd. And, boy, God does a wonderful thing with shepherds' hearts, doesn't he? You ever watch a real shepherd over there overseas or something? It's the strangest thing you've ever seen. You know, when that shepherd moves his stick a little bit, those guys stop right where they're at. They stop right where they're at. Those sheep will sit right down. You know, when he lifts his stick up, they'll go up and drink water. You know, when that shepherd sits down on the ground, they sit down. And, you know, a shepherd's got a lot of time out there in those fields, and it seems like this young boy had this imagination and dreams about fighting for his country. So he went out and he got himself this sling, and a sling is, it's not a slingshot, it's an actual sling. It was made out of twine back then, and you put a rock in it, and you'd flip that thing around, and folks, I've tried to use one of these, and I've taken out windows and stuff. You know, you gotta flip that around. You gotta know just when to let it go for that rock to take off, and there's a museum in Germany that swears that you could throw a rock upwards of 130 miles an hour out of a sling. And this David was out there with it, taking care of his shepherd, and these other boys were in their books and stuff. He was learning how to be a shepherd. He was learning how to take care of those sheep. He was learning how to use that old sling and how to get rid of those animals that that those sheep would fall prey to. And you know, that's what pastors still do today, is they pull out their old sling, the Word of God, and they slam away. So we come up and we're on 1 Samuel 17 and verse 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel?" Wow. Folks, we got people taking away the reproach from the United States tonight. We have people taking away the reproach, my brethren. We have people that could care less about our nation. And David stood up and he said, "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Don't you love that verse? Is there not a cause? Folks, is there not a cause in the United States of America anymore? Is there not a cause to knock down doors? Is there not a cause? And don't get me wrong, David knew what he was doing. David went over there and he figured out what the reward would be. You know, he said, "Hey, if I go take this dude out," you know, he said, "you'll probably get one of the king's daughters. You know, you'll probably get married. You'll probably be hooked right up, and you know, you'll be taken care of for the rest of your life, and you'll have all these great things." But David went and he was willing to fight this guy. David was willing to stand up against the big machine there, this guy, this big monster, and old Goliath. And David got out there, and he was willing to do it. You know, his brothers, you can't pick on your little brothers your whole life. Little brothers get bigger. I was a little brother. I'll never forget. My brother, I think, was 17, and I was 14. First time I punched him right in the nose. Yeah, and it just calmed everything down, cleared everything up right there. But you know, his brothers are like, "What are you doing here? You're not going to do everything." Doesn't people do that to us today? "What are you Christians doing here? There's not much you guys can do. You guys don't even have a lobby anymore in Congress. You can't find a born-again Christian here in the House of Representatives if you paid one." Doesn't it feel that way today? I know there's those who come out and they show themselves praying on TV, depending what state they come from. But folks, isn't there a cause? And we know the deal. David went out there, and I don't have to go through all the verses. And David went out there and he wound that sling up. He got himself some smooth stones and he took the guy out. And you know, I'm always amazed, Pastor, by the fact that he cut this guy's head off and carried it around with him just so everybody would know he did it. Can you imagine how big that guy's head was? Man, it's like, "Hey, I'm David. I took this guy out." But you know what bothers me even more than that as I look at these verses and we study this as we look at it tonight is Saul was this big man chosen from God to lead men. And Saul was back in the tent. Saul was this guy who was pulling the head off. I knew it was going to get to Leah over there, but I wasn't sure about some of your students. But can you imagine carrying a guy's head around with you? And he carried it around with him for a while. Saul was the guy chosen by God, and Saul sat back there in the tent. God has chosen some of us to move forward. God has chosen some of us to plant churches and communities and towns and cities. God has chosen some of us to knock on doors in Haines City and Winter Haven. And God has chosen us to bang down doors. God has chosen us to tell people the truth. And folks, that's our call. And it's a privilege to do that. I want to share a story, and then I'm all done tonight. Who here has heard of the Times Square bomber? The Times Square bomber. It was just back a couple years ago, and a few of you heard that. And you know, it's hard if you don't read this. And this is a real weird set of circumstances. But this guy got together, and this is what he put together, Pastor. This is going to blow your mind. Think about this, folks. This guy went out, the Times Square bomber, and he took a vehicle. He had like a minivan or an SUV type of vehicle, and he put two travel alarm clocks with batteries that were fashioned to be triggering devices out there in that vehicle he had. This is what happened. He was watching TV, and there's this cartoon show on that portrayed on the Fox Network that portrayed Muhammad as a teddy bear. This guy got really upset. So he gets two alarm clocks to set off some bombs. He gets two full red 5-gallon cans of gasoline sandwiched together by, 40-plus consumer-grade M88 firecrackers inside of a 20-ounce metal container wrapped in duct tape and then removed. Now think about this, folks. This guy knows what he's doing, all right? He has a 50-pound bag of gunpowder. Do you realize what a 50-pound bag of gunpowder will do? I mean, it's just a little bit for my 9mm bullets or 45, just a few grains in there to fire a bullet fast enough to kill somebody. Yet this guy had a 50-pound bag. Think of the destruction. He had three full 20-gallon propane tanks. Three of them. Full 20-gallon. He had a 55-inch by 32-inch green metal gun locker that contained, are you ready for this? This is inside this vehicle. It contained a metal pressure cooker pot containing a thicket of wires that were also connected to alarm clocks. Was this guy ready to do some damage or what? His idea was he wanted to blow up the Fox network that had called Muhammad a teddy bear. He had 250 pounds of urea-based fertilizer in 8 plastic bags. Think about this, folks. This guy could blow up half of Haines City with this ammunition. I looked at it. The idea was to take out about 12 square miles. He had 120 M88s on the side of that to set off these gas cans. And then you want to hear even more? He had nitrous oxide to set it all off in case the alarm clocks didn't work. He had rigged up a cell phone to call in, set off the nitrous oxide that was going to start a chain of events that was going to blow up a city block in New York City. Somebody knew about it. A guy in his mosque said, man, he can't do this. He's going to blow up all these people in New York. So he called the police and said, I'm worried about this guy. He keeps on bringing more gas tanks and fertilizer, and he's loading up this vehicle, and I'm pretty certain he's going to blow some folks up. This is what the New York police said. We don't know what to do. We can't just go look at the guy because they're going to say we're prejudiced against him because he's a Muslim. And so we're not sure. Are you sure he's really going to do something with the vehicle? So for the next 2.5 hours, they called all the federal agencies and finally got permission from this one particular judge to look in this guy's vehicle. But it was too late. The guy had already taken off. You see, he drove down and he parked out in front of Fox. So he gets out there, so he takes his cell phone, he gets out of the vehicle, and he's ready to meet his 70 virgins or whatever the case may be. He dials his cell phone and he hits call and it doesn't work. Nothing works. He says, what in the world's going on here? So he goes in there, Pastor, and he had his backup plan. He had a little blowtorch with nitrous oxide. So he pulls out a little lighter he had. He goes to light the blowtorch, and it won't light. Folks, it gets more weird from there. He starts stopping people going down the street and asking them if they got a light. He's standing on the corner. Now, there's a million cameras in New York City. And this guy's out there, hey, you got a cigarette or a light I can have? So he's bumming cigarettes. He gets a lighter from a guy. He pays 12 bucks for a guy to give him a Bic lighter. He goes back over to the vehicle. He's trying to light things, and then the cops show up. Nothing ever lit. And you say, well, Brother Doug, how's that possible? Righteousness exalteth the nation. We serve a great God. You know, at the exact same time that fellow was sitting out there trying to light those things and do those things, there was a repentance rally going on in Washington, D.C., and they put out a call to the nation that they said, we need to have these people come to the Lincoln Memorial, and we're going to beg God, the Lincoln Monument, we're going to beg God, we're going to pray for our nations and ask God to forgive us for our sin and to forgive us from running him. We're going to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And do you know at the exact time that boy was out there borrowing cigarette lighters and cigarettes and whatever he could get and trying to light these things on fire, the delegation from New York City was on their face begging God to save their city and their state, begging God to save their nation. So what's our job, folks? Righteousness exalteth the nation.